Does this show need a proper introduction? I don't know, Matt. I'm old school radio. I like to have a little bit of pomp and circumstance bringing us in.
We should probably let people know what this show is.
See, that's why we need the intro.
I know.
Because right off the bat, it says, hey, this is Matt and CJ's show, but instead, you just got me rambling. We're the all-new Matt and CJ show.
Should we just use that song, Diarrhea Chain, every single time that we intro the song?
Yeah.
And intro the show?
It describes what happens behind the scenes.
The Diarrhea Chain.
So, intro or not? Your honest opinion.
I think a show sounds good when it starts with some kind of intro. You want to have something that kind of lets everybody know, hey, we're owning this time.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Okay.
You brought in a couple of ideas last week, and frankly, they were, speaking of weak, they were weak.
They were a little bad.
No. What you're doing right there is you're trying to take some of the heat off of how bad they were by saying they were a little bad.
No, I mean...
They weren't good. But also, honestly, I think you... Your sense of humor is you like to laugh at things that are purposely bad.
Yes.
But I think that's an easy way out.
Why do you think this show's so entertaining for me?
Point well taken.
Okay.
Also explains your relationship. Sorry, too close to home?
A little bit, yes.
So don't you think that we should try to build something that's really good?
Okay. Let's do it.
Well, now I say we, I mean, I put the onus all on Spencer.
Okay. Spenny! Spenny!
Uh-huh.
That's Spencer, our producer. Spencer, thanks for coming out of your cave.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I asked you last week, and I gave you a full, like, I don't know, like 1 hour's worth of heads up.
Thank you.
Hey, could you build an intro for us? Because I don't think that CJ and I are ever going to be on the same page as far as this goes.
Right. Yeah, I think that makes it a little more neutral and a little more fair if Spinny's the one that we're crapping all over instead of each other.
I like that. I liked it. That's the thing that you can bring to the team, Spencer, is that you can be our punching bag.
I'm down.
Are you?
Let's do it.
When you say down, do you mean mentally? Have we upset you already?
Yeah. How'd you know? No. No, I'm down. It's just, it gets me some hours to work, so.
Okay. You know. Is that the way you look at it?
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's
I get
funny.
An extra hour.
Get a clock in a little longer.
All right.
7 days a week.
So you got some for us, right?
Yeah. Check it out.
Okay, let's check out Spencer's intro.
Oh, God, I'm nervous.
For the Matt and CJ show.
Matt and CJ. I don't know where I should go. I'm stuck in traffic on the road. I've got my dial on the radio. It's tuned to KROX. Let's go.
Okay, I gotta say, people will remember the name of the show.
Hell yeah.
And it's got much more energy than Breaking Benjamin.
Okay.
Ugh.
I'm gonna tell you something, and I'm gonna be honest with you, okay?
It's trash.
It's a little long. I wouldn't say it's trash.
I really set myself up to be a hypocrite here because I started this by making fun of CJ by saying, you just like things that are bad. I love that intro, and I'm not supposed to. I think you built that to actually screw with me and make me go, that's terrible. It can be better. We could probably edit it down something. I did not expect to love it as much as I just did. But now I'm kind of in love with you.
It's stuck in my head at this point.
Let's come back and revisit. We'll revisit later in the show. But so far, you're really winning me over with this, Spencer, and I'm kind of... You want a burger after work? Like, what do I gotta do?
I feel
like
deserve it.
You know, like a dolphin. You did a good work, and you need a little fish now.
Well, give me a little.
And CJ, just Matt and CJ. Let's go.
Here's more from just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Taking home all the Emmys last night. Congratulations, Ted Lasso. But guess what? The honeymoon is over. Here comes the inevitable hate. Disagree or agree?
I am not one of those that watches the Emmys or any award show.
I don't either.
I am excited that there's some trouble brewing with it.
You just know that it's gonna. Here it comes because Ted Lasso was an absolute joy in the middle of this pandemic. We're all sitting in the house. Show comes out of nowhere that none of us really knew.
Yeah,
none of us had really spent that much time with Mr. Jason Sudeikis. And suddenly the show comes out that's just kind of really fun.
Yeah, and it's got edgy. Its serious moments. I mean, it talks about divorce. And
it's not edgy. It's not trying too hard. It's just fun. It puts you in a good mood. It puts a smile on your face. I saw lots of people after I watched it going, oh, I didn't want to watch it because people said it was great. I assumed it would probably suck because we had that thing. Naturally, as human beings, right?
Mm-hmm.
If everybody tells you something's great, you go, nah, it probably isn't.
You eye roll at it. Like, we want to discover stuff on our own, not get into it because it's trendy. I felt the same way with Ted Lasso. I was like, I don't know. With that and Schitt's Creek were two shows that I was not going to watch, was not going to get into.
Well, I'm still not going to watch that one.
And then just did get into it.
Did
because
you?
it's positive, it's funny, it's
too many
well
episodes.
Written.
Too many episodes on Essence Creek. I can't do it because I'm just like, oh, that seems like a real commitment. But Ted Lasso loved it. But already today, I've just been seeing, like, I don't understand what all the love is about. The show's not that good. I've just seen it all over Twitter that, I don't, you know what? It's ridiculous that many awards for a show that's not even funny. Didn't make me laugh once. Well, maybe you're broken.
Or you didn't watch it for more than 5 minutes. Are there cynical asses being us on the internet going after Ted Lasso? And here we are enjoying it?
I have been
this
my entire
bizarre.
Life, I've been a cynical a-hole. But I can recognize when something is just good. The writing, the directing, the acting, the casting, all of that on Ted Lasso is good. It's just good. Is it my favorite thing ever? No. Is it a great fun watch? Yes. Was it saved by not being easily accessible? By the fact that it was kind of pushed in a corner because Apple TV makes it harder for people to steal shows
yes, indeed.
Than like Netflix does. I think if it had been on Netflix, it would have exploded even bigger, right? The fact is more and more people were like, well, I don't get Apple TV Plus or whatever weird platform it's on. Like, I haven't even seen it. I don't think I even care. But last night, one award. And then now comes the inevitable backlash against poor old Ted Lasso. Because we're not allowed to have it. We're not allowed to have fun or to like anything. Nothing's allowed to be popular.
That's very true. And if you look at the internet briefly, you'll understand that immediately. People just S all over everything.
Oh, every band that I loved, I immediately hated as soon as I started seeing like lots of t-shirts around my like junior high or high school. I was like, well, that band sucks now. That band sucked. That band was cool when only I knew about them. But
now hearing the shins on a Toyota commercial kind of changes.
Boo, yeah. Not good anymore.
I hate that you guys are making money and successful now. Go back to playing small, tiny clubs with
it's
10
hard,
people.
Because we like to all be cool, and sometimes everybody takes the coolness away. But I think that Ted Lasso is great. I only read about it this morning.
So you didn't watch the Emmys?
I'm not an Emmys watcher, no. Are you? You're not a...
No, my fiance is, though.
Did you watch with her?
No.
Okay. I heard that it was just basically the Ted Lasso show, that every time they would open up a menu... They're not menus. But you know what I mean? Every time they'd open up one of those little cards that they just kept reading
Congratulations,
out.
Congratulations, Ted Lasso. Yeah, well deserved.
Everybody on that show won something for the comedy side. Then I guess also there's a show called The Crown. Haven't seen it. It won all stuff on the drama side. I hear the one thing that we really missed out on, and I'm excited for the Ted Lasso people, but the one thing that you and I missed out on, apparently there was a guy who gave some kind of epic speech, like 9 minutes long.
Oh, at an award show?
Yeah, and they kept pushing up the music, you know, and he kept telling them to shut up the music and was reading, and he brought a bunch of notes on stage. And I haven't even looked at the clip. I haven't pulled it up. I thought 9 minutes a little too long for our show.
Yeah.
But I will, if you want to, look at it tonight and bring it in tomorrow, maybe, and we can cut it up. I don't know what it's about. It might suck. It might not be any good. I just love the balls on somebody to go, I'm going to bring up two pages and read a 30-minute speech at an award show.
Well, the perfect thing to do, again, is if someone talks too much, you cut them off with music.
You're a real asshole.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
We're all gonna die. At least that's what the internet says. Matt, I've lived through several of these moments. Y2K, the Mayan calendar in 2012. But now there's something else on the internet that is predicting our doom.
Well, let's be careful because a bunch of experts have come out and said, hey, no, we're not all dying from a giant 50-meter tall wall of water.
So a tsunami is supposed to take over the earth?
Sort of. I mean, just giant chunks of America. This went viral this weekend. Somebody put out that, hey, there were, and there was something that happened on the Canary Islands. There's a an eruption happening, and the Spanish government is trying to evacuate people. But somebody put out there that that a giant chunk of the volcano was going to tear away into the ocean and cause a giant wide tsunami. And a worst case scenario, essentially, all of the East Coast and the Gulf of Mexico, all it was basically going to flood America. So, like, up to Houston. Houston would be underwater.
And this is supposed to
Atlanta,
happen.
Atlanta, Georgia would be underwater. New Orleans. All of Florida would be underwater. That it was supposed to happen, essentially, like, today would come through.
Oh, I haven't built my ark to fill with big ladies.
Yeah. So, the Canary Islands government announced evacuations. Mainstream news media, the enemy, is silent.
Oh, come on, Soros.
Yeah, the part of the volcano they think may shear off and fall into the ocean is the size of Manhattan. It goes from sea level to a 6,000-foot elevation, and that sounds like a whole lot until you realize that's the size of, you know, your average big old iceberg.
Which falls off in the ocean regularly.
Constantly, yeah. If it happens, it will generate a tsunami. Keep in mind, 100 meters is equal to 328 feet. So apparently somebody was panicked. So here's what's going on. We are not going to die from this tsunami.
And, thank goodness.
Meteorologists have come out and said, ladies and gentlemen, we will not die from a tsunami. However, we will die from our own stupidity.
Absolutely.
It is regularly seen on the internet. We will die from our own stupidity.
I completely understand and believe what you're saying, and do agree that tsunamis can be very dangerous, especially on this flat earth we're living on.
Can you spell tsunami?
T-S-U-N-A-M-I. I'm going to say that's correct.
Maybe.
We'll find out coming
D-E-E-Z-N-U-T-Z.
Up. These nuts!
I got you so good.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
North Austin, South Austin, West Austin, East Austin. Can you hear me, Round Rock? Can you hear me, Cedar Park? Can you hear me, all surrounding areas? Every parent in a pickup line! This goes out to all the parents in the pickup line right now. News is out that looks like there's a very good chance that vax will be available for kids 5 to 11 on the ASAP. In fact, probably by the end of this month, it'll be in for FDA review. And they say probably, more than likely, by Halloween, your kids can be vaxed if you so choose. Experts say, quote, the need is urgent. Children now account for more than 1 in 5 new cases, and the highly contagious Delta variant has sent more children into hospitals and intensive care units in the past few weeks than at any other time in the pandemic. Moreover, neither Bill nor Melinda Gates nor George Soros have been able to track your children as much as they would like to.
Yeah, this sounds all like fake news, and they're just coming for our kids now.
That's right. They are coming for our kids.
As someone without any children, I have strong opinions about them vaxing our sweet babies when, as we all know, they're healthier. They recover better. They're like rubber. You drop them on the ground, they pop right back up better than ever.
Can I say something to you? You may not have kids, but you have a dog, right?
Oh, yeah, they're kind of the same.
I will tell you, as someone who has kids, that really you already deal with pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, heartworm. Going to the bathroom on the floor, tearing up all the trash out of the wastebasket in the bathroom.
Yes, enough about my kids. Okay. Now, what about your dog?
They're pretty well behaved.
Yeah, this could actually be great news for some people. Of course, a lot of people pointed out on the internet that really, even though the vax is available for people down to 12, the acceptance rate of that has been pretty low. You know what I mean? People still not getting the vax. But it's great news for a lot of parents who are interested in it because I know, like, my kids' schools, I feel for the administrators there that are having to send us letters
daily
every single day saying
someone else.
It's not happening. Well, the one thing that's been really good at both my kids' schools, they go to separate schools, but they have not been having a lot of transference in school. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a kid stays out of school, but the two table mates don't end up getting sick. So that's been good at whatever work that they're having to do. I mean, they are saints in these schools, trying to just to keep our kids in there to learn a little bit so that we can have time off during the day to go have some day drinks.
Woo! 101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
Is Rainy Street cursed? It seems to be the hippest, hottest place to hang out for Sunday fun day. And over the weekend, something that hasn't been spotted in Austin or the Tri-County area in a while, wrecked some cars in a parking lot. A massive dust devil overtook all the kids out partying. It happened in a parking lot off Rainy Street. Between the Quincy and the Fairmont Austin. And I just want to know, Matt, is Rainy Street cursed?
I don't have an answer for that. You should ask somebody who spends more time on Rainy Street. I don't think Rainy Street is pointed at me.
No?
No.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, first of all, every time I go there, look, I don't have a lot of time for fun anymore because I listened to my wife when she said, let's have kids. So it's on me. I really shouldn't have listened to her. But that takes away some of the fun. If I'm going to go to a place that is kind of, I don't know, advertising itself as a cocktail bar, you should be able to make a cocktail. And I've gone too many times to a place and ordered what I thought was a simple order and then gotten, I don't know, garbage in a glass. And I'm like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm
let's
done.
Be real. A lot of the bars down there aren't necessarily, they advertise themselves as, like you just said, cocktail bars. But let's be real. These are glamour.
Vodka soda. They can do vodka soda for sure.
It's a glamorized shot bar district.
Yeah.
That has just grown out of control. And the reason I ask you why it's cursed is not just because of the dust devil, but the parking lot it happened in is where I've parked the last couple of times I've been down there.
Okay.
They've all been for radio station events or most recently a charity event. And every time I've gone, something has happened to the vehicle I've been in. I've had a window smashed out. I got a ticket, and then I had an instance where I was getting towed, even though I had paid. You know, they don't have parking attendants down there. They have little screens that you put your license.
They have parking attendants.
Oh, yeah.
I've been down there before, and the parking attendant comes up and says, hey, you got $5 so I can get to Houston. You got $10 so I don't put this this screwdriver through the side of your car.
Unofficial parking attendants, but every time, and I know I'm not necessarily the crowd that goes to Rainy Street anymore either, but it's always an S show, and just that over the last 2 years, the three times I have gone, something's happened to my car every single time. So I believe Rainy Street is absolutely cursed, or maybe that's just my bad luck for trying to be an old man and be hip and try to hang out in the district where all the young kids go to do shot bar stuff.
You're not an old man. I just think that, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I would have loved to have been here on Sunday when the dust devil came right down the middle of rain.
And just kicked up gravel all over a ton of cars and kids.
Look, I'm a jerk, you know, but that's when I've gone down a couple times. Look at my wife. Let's be clear on that sentence, because when I leave it hanging, that's when I've gone down to Rainy a couple times with my wife. That is a much better.
You had oral sex with your wife on Rainy Street.
That's what I was trying to say.
I figured.
And but, you know, there's lots of young people that haven't quite learned bar culture yet necessarily. I'm not trying to be judgmental. It's just an observation.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of this thing ripping gravel and then just, oh, my God, Mindy!
There's a bunch of drunk people.
Straw! I need a straw!
101X, Matt and CJ.
Alrighty, folks, time for the 420 report.
Let's light him up!
Smoke weed every day.
Today on the 420 report, hey, I know that weed is the evil devil's lettuce, but it makes people much nicer when they deal with the cops. To wit, three stories from the state of Florida. Story number one. Officers spotted a car in a park at 3 a.m. The park was closed, so they pulled the car over. There was a pervasive smell of marijuana.
Ooh.
The officer asked the man whether there was any illicit weed in the vehicle, and the man complied and said, yes, there is. You'll find some in the backpack in the backseat of the car.
Oh, how
and
polite.
There they found nearly two dozen 2-inch by 2-inch plastic bags, obviously ready for distribution. So, The driver was cited with possession of the intent to distribute and was easily taken into custody.
Oh, so nice and polite. But, I mean, what's the number one rule if you're a drug dealer? You don't use your own product. That's key to getting
busted. Wasn't high.
To getting...
Wasn't high.
Oh, you mean they smelled the actual product through the packing?
Yeah, and he complied.
Okay.
Now, may I now read to you two different stories from the same state of Florida where people were not high. Shirtless man was spotted sporting a black eye and blood covering his entire body. He was passed out in a plastic chair outside of a residence. So officers approached him. He rallied himself back to reality, and they asked him if he was okay. And he said, well, I was in Boca Raton, and I fell down, and then I don't know what happened, but I was picked up by an unknown person who drove me here and placed me in this chair. He made no mention of the blood on his body or the black eye, but when he stood up, four empty cans of Four Loko fell out from behind him onto the floor. He was taken into custody, which I think is brilliant. And, of course,
that's
now
some
going
time traveling right there
to West Palm Beach, crossing over the median and then driving on the wrong side of the road of South Flagler Drive, a motorist eventually realized her mistake, so she crossed back over the median. However, she lost control of her car when she did that and ran into a pole. So she placed the vehicle in reverse and backed up into another pole. Finally, poles seeming to come at her from every direction, she got going west on Lakeview Avenue. Unfortunately, she was going across the road, and by the time she went 50 feet, she plowed into a wall. She tried to go into reverse, but plowed into another pole.
Oh, no. There's nothing worse than that. I've got a story I'll tell someday about Taco C and something relating very much to this.
When cops showed up, she was missing one shoe. She said, they asked if she'd been drinking, and she said, no, not really. She was just hungry.
Hey, that'll do that to you. You know, it can mess with your entire your body chemistry, your blood sugar. It could have been any of that, but I doubt it.
In the backseat of the car, the police found an empty bottle of wine and an empty bottle of tequila. The woman said she didn't know how they got there. She failed a roadside sobriety test and was arrested for DUI.
Matt and CJ, 101.
Growing up in Texas, eating burritos was a pretty normal thing for me. I think that was a meal at least once a week at home, if not fast food, or if not eating at a Tex-Mex restaurant. But I think eating burritos, fairly normal.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you're a Texan, you grew up with burritos, and I don't think there's anyone who doesn't know what a burrito is.
No, and I'm even from farther north in Texas than you are, but again, still pretty regular thing. My family, who are, you know, Irish, German, white, whatever, still in Texas, burritos, very regular thing.
Sure, but can you say that about everyone in every part of the U.S.?
Being as far north as where I grew up in Amarillo, it's hard not to think that someone on that same, what is it? That would be longitude line or latitude line.
There you go.
Latitude would have the same experience.
Okay, but do you understand that Amarillo is not the north?
It's not. No, it's still below the old Mason's Dick line.
I would like to play for you a little ad I found.
Okay.
From the 7-Eleven company. You might be familiar with 7-Eleven.
Very much so.
7-Eleven provides a convenient place to get gas occasionally.
Slurpees.
Slurpees. Also, sometimes there are crack addicts around back who will also give you Slurpees. And, you know, a never clean but at least a convenient toilet when you've got a really bad cramping issue, right?
Yes.
Plus, home of some incredible foods when you are super drunk.
Yes.
Yes.
Always hot, never fresh, but delicious 7-Eleven.
Here is a 7-Eleven burrito commercial from 1979 where I'm assuming what 7-Eleven is trying to do is introduce the concept of a burrito to people who maybe don't understand the concept of a burrito. Because I've watched it a couple times and I don't quite understand what's happening. Okay, are you ready? Here
Let's
we go.
This.
What is a 7-Eleven burrito?
It's a Mexican pizza, but you roll them up.
It's a Mexican strudel without the sweet.
It's a delicious Mexican blintz, is what it is.
7-Eleven's burrito, meat or beans, peppers and onions, spiced, simmered, and tucked away in a tortilla.
It's a Mexican egg roll without the egg.
How they do that?
What a 7-Eleven burrito is good.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Why does that make me feel uncomfortable listening to that, like it's in some way racist or something? It's a Mexican pizza, just a, without everything that's on a pizza.
Yeah, nothing. I've never once had a bean pizza, but thank you, one Italian guy. I will say no one was dressed over the top. They just looked like business people.
Okay, I didn't see the visual of it. But.
Well, I think it's odd because I have never been in a 7-Eleven and seen four business people in a row. Just I mean, they're all doing business. But then business involves small, tiny plastic bags.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I've never seen
suits and guys ties.
But I love that the one guy said, it's a Mexican egg roll without the egg. You know, egg rolls, as we all know, is a great way to have scrambled eggs delivered to you. Like, but there's not even... Now, that might send me down another path. Why is an egg roll called an egg roll if there is no egg in it? But I love that commercial. Love it.
It makes sense that they were marketing something that people in the North probably didn't know that exists traditionally here in the South, but it's cringy to hear that.
Oh, it's really
it's very cringe.
But I love the idea, too, of just like the concept of not knowing what a burrito is, and then you would see that commercial, and you still wouldn't know
what
a burrito
is.
Here's more from Jeff Matt and CJ. 101X.
People lie on resumes. We know that.
Yeah.
Ever done it?
Kind of.
Yeah. And I've never lied, but I may have fudged some facts.
That's what I was going to say. Either lying by omission or doing a bit of editing.
Lying by omission, I've done. This woman straight up lied.
Okay.
And very important press conference in Tampa area. There's a serial killer that has been on the loose. The entire community panicked.
Yeah.
Moms afraid to hug their children. Dads afraid to sneak out of the house to have sex with their secretaries. It's been terrible for Tampa.
That's worse than the COVID lockdown, it sounds like.
I know. Luckily, they think they've caught the serial killer. I'm now going to play for you a little bit of news.
Okay.
Why it's probably a good idea to always, I don't know, check some references. All right, do I have your interest?
You got my attention.
Here we go.
It's happened again. Another sign language interpreter accused of signing total gibberish.
Not where I was expecting.
The police news conference announcing an arrest in the Tampa serial killings.
We will be charging 4 counts of first degree murder.
Standing off to the side, apparently translating every word, this woman.
We received over 5,000 tips in this case.
But it turns out much of what she was signing was nonsense. She waved her arms around like she was singing Jingle Bells, says one outraged sign language expert. The woman, identified as Derlin Roberts, has a string of arrests for fraud. So how did she come to be translating at last week's high-profile police news conference?
I just didn't ask enough questions.
Oh, perfect supervisor moment right there.
Oops.
This is not the first time this has happened, but I did not expect this was where the story was going to go. But
no,
that
it
is,
has happened before. I know.
Humiliating.
It's fun to watch her because it's very clear that she's doing this with her. She's just,
she doesn't
know
how
you sign
doing.
Letters, but yeah. She's signing. She's just basically wiggling her fingers over and over again. It's not even like a good fake. She, when they said arrested, she did this weird thing where she does
handcuffs
on her. On her wrists in a weird way. And then even when they were just like, you know, 5,000 tips, she signed by just like jiggling her hands in front of her breasts. I don't know what she was doing, but I just love that when you watch it. Now, I wouldn't have even looked at the signer, right? It's because it's not, she's not speaking my language, so I wouldn't have paid attention to it. I wouldn't have noticed. But I guess there are a lot of hearing impaired people in the community who were just like,
what
the F is going on? You're making fun of us? So yeah, she is now in a little bit of trouble. You want to hear about how it resolves?
Yeah, double check that resume.
Officer Steve Hegarty told me the woman simply showed up out of the blue and offered her services.
My immediate reaction was, I didn't call for a sign language interpreter, but that's great that we have one here. I let her in.
Did this woman appear to know what she was doing?
To the untrained eye, and that would include mine, I didn't see any problems.
That's so funny because
3 months after it was revealed.
You literally just said in watching her the first time, it was clear she did not know what the hell she was doing.
She doesn't know what she's doing.
I'm going to be honest. When it came to doing this radio show, I might have fudged my resume a bit.
Oh, I know. I'm working next to you. I understand.
Lied some. We'll find out soon enough.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Matt Bearden, you had big plans for this weekend, and on Friday you even challenged me to do something cool and fun. You're going out to a ranch, you're going to ride dirt bikes, you're going to shoot guns. You pretty much just made it sound like anything I was going to try to do was going to be pathetic and not compare with the amazing fun weekend you had, and I'm sure that people cannot wait to hear about how badass it was.
Well, unfortunately, dads can't have weekends.
Why?
Dads cannot have nice weekends.
Something
will always go wrong. Something will always go wrong. I mean, I did challenge you on Friday because I thought, well, the groundwork is laid here for me to have an excellent, fantastic weekend going out to the family ranch. It should be awesome getting out of town, getting away from social media altogether. There's no, out there on the property, there's really no cell service. There's no Wi-Fi. I mean, you can kind of go to the top of the hill and catch a little bit of a cell signal from time to time. But really,
you're getting away from it all. You're relaxing. You're having fun. You've got your family. You've got a couple of friends that have gone with you. And you're getting away. I mean, it was a busy weekend.
Yeah, well, I had no friends that went with me, actually, this weekend. I invited you. You didn't want to come. You were like, I can't go because I'm... Something like that.
Well, you made it very clear it was a 2-hour drive there and back, and I didn't have a place to sleep.
So. I should have called you because you would have had a place to sleep. My wife's friend didn't
in
end
her
up
bed.
Up.
Got it.
Yeah. It was nice. We get out there. There's always plenty of wine. We have got a ranch and grow a lot of grapes out there, and we trade them for wine. Everything's set up to be a fantastic weekend, right?
Sounds like it.
I got a couple little. You hit them with your foot. Shoots a little clay pigeon. Shoot at him if you want to.
Yeah.
And then I got out there late on Friday after a really long week, and I thought, just going to go to bed. Got up early on Saturday, thought this is going to be a great day. Woke up in a good mood.
Shooting, dirt biking, you've got Texas football on the television. What more could you want?
No Texas football because we can't get signal out there. But what I did have is I had two kids who got up in the morning, were having a good time. They weren't complaining about having no Wi-Fi, anything like that. And then I went for a long walk early in the morning.
Nice.
Took my dog out there. She didn't have to have a leash because we're just on property, right? She chased a jackrabbit. I told her, you're such a good girl. You came so close to getting that jackrabbit. That fat bitch didn't come anywhere near that jackrabbit. But you got
to encourage your dog.
I wanted her to feel good about it, right? I wanted her to have a good weekend, too. So everything is lined up. And then my kids say, hey, can we go on
a... beautiful.
Can we go on a gator ride, a mule ride? You know what I'm talking about?
It's off-road not
golf
a quad,
cart.
But yeah.
Yeah. Off-road golf cart, essentially. I mean, we use them for work or whatever, but the kids like to go, and then sometimes they get to drive, right? Because what are they going to do? Run into a barbed wire?
There's
we'll be
nothing
fine.
But land everywhere. That's
right.
Fun.
It's fun. And while we were out there, it happens to be the time of season also that prickly pear is in bloom everywhere, a beautiful fruit. And my kids are like, what is all of that? And I thought, my God, how can my kids not know what prickly pear is? And I explained, that's prickly pear. And I said, yeah, but we've seen the cactus, but not all that stuff. And I said, well, remember when we were out here earlier in the year and it all flowered? Now it's grown into this is the fruit that comes off of here. Native Americans used to eat this fruit, and it's delicious. You can make a syrup out of it. And then my wife was like, oh, you can make margaritas out of that. And I said, you absolutely can. And I said, you know what? Now here is where my Texan card has to be rescinded. I have my whole life lived in Texas. I've been around prickly pear cactus my whole life. And I've even gone to some grocery stores before where you can purchase the prickly pear fruit sitting right there. I have now, however, never picked my own prickly pear fruit. So I was not aware, which is stupid because what is the name of this fruit?
Let's see. It's a pear. It's on a cacti. It's prickly?
Yeah. When you get it in the store, apparently it's been processed in a way where you can't see it. There's microscopic,
very tiny
needles all over.
Painful little splinters in them.
Didn't know that at all. So I said to my kids, yeah, it's fruit. And I went over there, and because I've handled the fruit before in the store, I'm like, oh, there's no problem. As long as I don't put my hand to the spines, I'll be fine. And you can't feel it at first, and I grab the fruit, and I twist it off, and I put it in the other hand, and I do six or seven like that, and all of a sudden I'm like, why are my hands on fire?
Like a fire ant bit them.
What is it? And I feel ridiculous telling the story, because everybody listening right now is like, you're an idiot, dude. You're an absolute idiot.
Yeah.
It's not called prickly paddle cactus. It's called prickly pear. As in, hey, the pear part, the part you eat, is prickly. Dickhead.
Dumbass.
You know, Guy Richard head. You can't get that. It's little tiny. Yeah, you can't even see him and pull him out
with the splinters.
All that happens is that your two hands hurt for the rest of the day. Pulsing.
What does that mean? It means you can't do any of the things you said you were going to do. You can't go shoot clay pigeons.
Nope.
Can't go pew pew.
Nope.
I guess you didn't get on that dirt bike.
Nope. Couldn't do that either because my hands hurt too much to try to pull back on throttles. Can't do anything. My kids wanted to go into town and do some antiquing. The whole time I'm there, it's hot as hell. I'm in a bad mood and getting cranky. And my wife's like, don't take it out on the kids. I'm like, I'm not taking anything out of the kids. Leave me alone. Anyway, weekend ruined. Dad's an a-hole. Nobody likes me. Dads can't have nice things. Dads can't have weekends.
Here's more from Just Matt and CJ. 101X.
Now, we don't always watch the Emmys quite often. We're not part of that whole pop culture stick award show thing. But we did talk about the Emmys earlier, and you brought up an interesting topic because we've both been watching a lot more television lately.
Correct.
With families, with being at home more.
Way too
with COVID.
Early. Emmy Awards.
Okay. So, like, literally a year from now, we're going to predict what of our favorite or shows we see coming up on the horizon are going to win Emmys.
Correct.
Okay.
So, I'm suggesting, hey, right now, you and I put it down on paper. We'll tack it to the wall.
See if we're right.
See if we're right.
1 year down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got one that I think's a shoo-in.
Shoo-in. Okay, so this is something you're watching. Mm-hmm. Now, in the old days, you always felt like, if it's not on network, it won't have a really great chance. And then HBO started exploding probably in 98, 99.
Yeah.
And then you were like, HBO's got the hot hand. Now Netflix is killing it. So are Disney Plus and
Amazon.
Apple Plus and all these things. So, all these places are putting out different kinds of shows. What I'm asking you right now, CJ, with no knowledge, both of us are really bad at the award shows because we don't even watch them. Let's make predictions, put some money on it.
Okay. I'm going to predict White Lotus. White Lotus is a new show that's out. It's kind of like an island mystery at a resort sort of thing.
Then
the next season's going to be similar, but a different resort and an entirely different cast of characters. And just watching that, it kept me engaged. It was fun. It was weird. It was funny. I'm going to put White Lotus down as one of my picks.
Great pick, because I forgot about that show, even though I just watched it like 2 weeks ago. But
that's
how my brain works. I forgot. Like, I could not have remembered. Great show. Does that go down? So that would go down in the, they call them like a limited series or something?
Yes.
Limited series? Because even when they make the next one, even though it's the same name, isn't it its own limited series because it's all new cast or whatever?
New director,
I could see White Lotus going in there for sure.
Okay.
Okay. Here's mine for comedy. Best comedy. Reservation Dogs.
Yes.
It is.
That is a good
so
show.
So good.
I just watched
the one. I cannot believe how good that show is. The casting is what's making it insanely good. The writing is fantastic. They delve into each and every character. We get to see their background. The direction is great. There's all these allusions to other movies as well inside of the show. Fantastic. Love it. Top to bottom. Great show. Zero complaints. And I'm a person that really likes to complain, so.
Yeah. This one is not in the realm of Matt Bearden at all, for two reasons. One, it's a video game. Two, it's in the genre of what we call sword and sorcery, which if you've ever been to a Ren Faire with me, which Matt Beard and you have.
I have. It was great to watch you sweat an entire afternoon.
Through 20 pounds of armor and a cloak. We'll tell that story another time. But this show captivated me. It's made me download the new game on Switch. I like The Witcher. Have you ever heard of The Witcher? Have you ever seen The Witcher? We're getting a thumbs up from Spencer in the corner.
Spencer like The Witcher?
What was that?
Never mind. Never mind.
So that's going to be one of my predictions because the first season was very solid, but it was really confusing to watch if you're not a fan because it wasn't told in linear order and it just blended a little too much. But now we're getting into the main meat of the story and where it does run in a linear timeline, and I think it's going to be more accessible to a lot of people. And I think it also fills in some if you were a Game of Thrones fan or whatever. This has nudity, it has sword fighting, it has a mysterious kind of element to it.
Should I watch Game of Thrones?
Did I?
No, I said, should I? I never started, never seen an episode. I'm wondering, should I even invest the time?
No, it's not your thing.
I would watch the first three seasons,
nah. And it's great, but it's nothing about it you're going to like, especially knowing just how it ends. Okay, so I predicted White Lotus, The Witcher. You've said Reservation Dogs, which is incredible. What is your next prediction for the Way Too Early Emmys?
Way Too Early Emmys. I think I'm going to go a little bit out on a limb, because sometimes people don't like the really popular shows, right?
Yes.
The really popular shows. They're like, oh, it's too popular. It needs to be arty or whatever. I'm going to go with Real Housewives of Manor. Real Housewives of Manor.
You're being a jerk. Is there actually a Real Housewives of Manor?
Wait. Why would you? What do you mean? Is there really? Are you an idiot?
Yes.
No, I just ran. I've only seen one show, and it's Reservation Dogs.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
Are we mad at Spencer?
I would never be mad at Spencer, but I'm a little displeased with his work today.
Why is that?
Huh? Well, we should probably say Spencer is our producer. Hasn't spent a lot of time on air. He's busy producing for us, but the reason is that we had an issue. We did not have an opening song, an opening riff. We did not have an official opening to the show.
Yeah, any radio program, any television show, anything you see like that has a some fireworks at the beginning.
Fireworks is a great
there.
Way to put it, CJ. I appreciate that. You filled in the blank for me.
Yeah, an announcement, a boom.
Allergies are kicking my ass.
It's Matt and CJ.
I can't even talk. Last week, you made a couple of openings, and CJ, they were terrible. So I put our good friend Spencer up to it, and I said, create something. And I kind of figured it would give us legs because it would be a bit that would go for a while because he would miss the mark a couple times.
Way. After being how busy and depressed he was last week, suffering through the weekend, that he's going to come in on Monday with anything that's
any good.
Let's
be clear about Spencer for people that don't know. But suffering, busy, unhappy, depressed, that's Spencer always. So there's really no difference, okay? That's Spencer in Drive, baby, is what that is. I know.
Yes.
Spencer, worked with him for a long time. So, but I felt like he's too close to the mark, and it kind of ruined the bit a bit.
Okay, let's listen to this intro and judge it as we go.
Okay.
Matt and CJ. Just Matt and CJ. I don't know where I should go. I'm stuck in traffic on the road. I've got my down the radio. It's tuned to KROX. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
That's good.
That right there.
It's fast fun. Music. It's upbeat. It's got kind of funny punk lyrics to it. It's actually a good intro.
Thank you. The reason
we're pissed about it, Spencer, is because the idea is we needed something to do all week long, and that was going to be crapping on you bringing in terrible. I mean, I guess it just shows how much I underestimated you.
I was working on a bad one, but it didn't save.
I'd like to point out that CJ underestimated you. I did not underestimate you. I knew you had this ability, but I thought you would understand the bit enough to bring in some terrible stuff first.
I was working on one first for like an hour and a half. and I went to save it, and it didn't save in like a write file.
Wait, are you one of my kids? Where is this coming from? This is kids do this. Like, oh, I was going to, but the computer ate my homework.
No, I did. So I angrily made this song in like, well, it took a while, but this is my second attempt at something else.
I'm gonna say it's catchy.
It needs to go. I mean, there are more verses after that, and I think we need to drop the extra verses because we just got to get into. We got to get into the show.
Yeah,
That's what she said. Mm. But that right there is dumb and funny, and those are, you know, when I think of CJ and I think of CJ as dumb, and I'm funny. So it works.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
Big ACL festival news. Just now breaking. There have been a lot of cancellations, right?
Yes.
Got a lot of people concerned. What's going to happen, whatever. But there's just been a huge addition to ACL Fest.
Oh, there has?
Yeah, the boss told us we're working.
Oh, yeah. Our fat asses, that is a pretty huge addition.
Yeah.
So we are working ACL Fest.
Yeah, he said you're going to be out there, the broadcast, and you guys are going to be working the booth out there, and so we will be out there.
Handing out 101X stickers to anyone that wants to come by and say hello.
Yeah, so big addition.
Actually, I'm kind of told it will be fun. Like, we're going to have different interviews with several artists. I mean, Modest Mouse, the first one
that's awesome.
Coming up, and we're going to have a lot more. So there, we won't just be hanging out and getting drunk. We will, but we'll also be talking to some of your favorite bands and, of course, doing the regular show backstage at ACL Fest, which will be fun. I'm a little nervous about this one.
Why?
I didn't think we would be working just yet, and ACL Fest also happens to always fall on my fiance's birthday.
Oh.
So every year, I'm stressed out about ACL Fest. I'm packing my equipment, taking my vitamins, getting ready, writing questions for interviews. Used to go and set up backstage with all the gang, which is mainly my way of smuggling in booze. But every year for her birthday, I have to work. I have other things going on. And every year, I'm like, I'll plan something for you. I'll buy something. What do you want? What do you want to do? And she's like, I don't want to do anything. No, that's fine. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that.
That's a lie.
I threw a surprise dinner for her the day before. And
surprise dinner in ACL?
Yeah, in the park.
She's like,
at the corn dog stand.
Chili pies, baby. Happy birthday.
No, I did it at a restaurant with some friends and roommates. And
weird, I don't remember
it
my
was
invitation.
It was a very poor show by her group of friends. And then she was mad at me for surprising her. And I'm like, okay, well, next year I'm not going to do that. Next year I didn't do anything, and she wasn't visibly upset.
Yeah. It's hard because you're talking about a woman's birthday, and a special woman, that woman being your fiance.
Yes, and I want to do something nice.
I understand that, and it's hard to navigate because aging, I think, is different for women than it is for men. Please let my boss know that I'm a big sexist pig. But I've noticed with my wife, she cares very differently about birthdays than I do. Because I'm like, whatever, I'm just getting old and hot. And she's like, am I going to get tossed out into the streets? Because America loves young, hot girls, but they don't love MILFs. And I'm like, well, Pornhub does. Mm. You got somewhere
to go,
baby.
Top search for there.
Yeah. Are we going to need to rally the troops and do something for your fiance at ACL?
Yes, I think maybe we can organize a flash mob because you know she's a stand-up comic. She used to teach improv, so we'll do a flash mob for her on stage at ACL Fest. Does that
Here's
sound
the
like
problem
the best
with that.
Idea I've
That's
ever had?
The kind of thing you would do, but you would make yourself the star of it. So really, it's not about her; it's about you, and that is an issue I want you to avoid. I say make a beautiful dinner for her and then meet her to eat that beautiful dinner in one of those very roomy portalettes they have there at the ACL Fest.
Romantic, intimate, close together ACL Fest birthday for my fiance. Hey, I can't wait to see you all as part of the flash mob.
101X, Matt and CJ.
I absolutely lived my life to the fullest this weekend. Last Friday, Matt, you kind of challenged me.
I did.
I felt challenged because you were going out to your family's ranch to shoot guns, to ride dirt bikes. You kind of let me know there wasn't a place for me to stay out there. So
right. I didn't want you to go, so I just came up with an excuse.
So we decided that we would see who had the better weekend. If you missed it earlier, which you can hear on the podcast, Matt and CJ, 101x.com. Matt did not have a very good one because of kids, because of his idiocy trying to do something with the cacti. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention. But I lived it to the fullest.
Let's hear it.
Friday night, I went to see Molly Birch, who was playing at the Mohawk. You know, we got friends at the Mohawk. We love that place. One of the greatest venues in Austin.
When the Mohawk closes, I leave the city. That's just the way it goes.
Got up Saturday, went to the 101X tailgate party. I don't know if you know this, but we've got Noble Oak Bourbon. We've got Truly Hard Seltzer. We've got Thirsty Planet Brewery there. So I had some drinks, and I was feeling good. Now, it's about time to start planning how I'm going to get home, and someone's like, hey, I got an extra ticket to the UT game. You want to go watch Texas? Of course. I tried to go to one game a year, went to the Texas game. It was a blowout, decided to leave at halftime, meet another buddy who texted me, says, I'm heading to the Austin FC game. You want to go?
Whoa,
we're late.
Double sports night?
Did both. Went to the Austin FC game, partied there, ended up getting a ride back to Mr. Tramp's, partied there more.
Was the Austin FC match another blowout?
Let's say it was 3-1 at halftime.
Oh, congrats,
so Austin FC.
FC
was up. They were kicking ass. Then by the time I left, it was 4-3 San Diego over Austin FC. Then Sunday, get up, go have brunch with some friends. My fiance's out of town the whole weekend.
Yeah, that sounds like a dude's weekend.
I tried to make the most out of it. Here's the problem.
I knew there would be a rub because I figured that's where we were headed. Speaking of rub, fiance was out of town?
Yeah, I did plenty of that. So after being partially paralyzed in my spine for a week, dealing with work stuff, having my first big weekend to go have fun, I stayed at home the entire weekend. I lied to you about everything just there.
Oh, you did?
And what's sad about that is I was offered with one friend tickets to Molly Birch. I was offered UT tickets. I was offered tickets to Austin
FC. And you
Austin
didn't do
FC.
Any of those things?
Co-workers were like, hey, come out to the tailgate. It's packed. Some people are asking about you. They want to talk about the new show. I sat my ass on the couch and ordered takeout food. And pretty much after leaving the station Friday night, didn't do anything.
Important question.
Yes.
Would you get takeout?
I did do Mr. Tramp's. I did a place called Coco's Cafe, and then I ordered some Domino's pizza one night. And I know what you're thinking. Well, that's two nights, and it seems you ordered food three times. Not mention what I cooked for myself. I promised to do better, Matt. You challenged me to go out and have a good time. I did not do that, but that will happen this weekend. The party animal's back.
I don't need the party. If I'm eating six or seven meals in a weekend, I'm having a good time.
Yeah, fair enough, man. Just stayed at home, partied in my own way, watched a lot of TV, maybe too much. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow, Matt and CJ, with ACL Fest tickets to give away and more fun zany shenanigans and maybe another intro from Spinny. We'll find out, right?
Don't say shenanigans again.
But it's a good, funny, goofy word. Radio.
Oh, God.
All right, we'll be into more S tomorrow.
Matt and CJ. Afternoons, 3 to 6, 101X.